Welcome to Daily Devotion with Ken Gurley. Devotions designed to inspire you on your daily walk with God. Each day we walk through the vital principles of the abundant life. Our Lord can do above and beyond all we ask or think. Here's your host, Ken Gurley.
There are few laws in life that are completely irrefutable, irrevocable. It's a matter of dispute which laws can and cannot be broken. Yet there is one law that I know that is absolutely irrevocable. And I want to talk to you about that today. Let's start with this premise. Everyone is a leader. Everyone leads. In some sphere of life, you lead. You take the initiative. You adopt this, if it is to be, it is up to me attitude. And you say, this matters. It really matters to me. And you step out in faith. It could be something at your church, in your career, in your family, your extended family. It could be a small group, a ministry, a project, an endeavor that endures, something that matters. Like David of old, you spy something and you're stirred deep within yourself and you asked, is there not a cause? And it moved you. It moved you to stand in the gap, to rally others, to gather resources, to make a difference, to take a stand. That's leadership. Leaders come in different forms. They may have different styles, different approaches, different strengths. Yet in some way, each leader has something very similar. He or she gives a voice to the voiceless, strength to the weak, involvement to the marginalized, a vision to rally everyone. How do you determine the worth of leadership? What does a leader bring to any endeavor? It's immense. It's intense. Hello, my name is Ken Gurley, and here on Daily Devotion this week, we're talking about enhancing your effectiveness. Today, we want to talk about your effectiveness as a leader. A leader makes much difference. Where would England have been without Wellington at Waterloo? Where would those defenders of the Alamo been without Travis? And how can you overestimate the worth of a Lincoln or a Washington? Or the influence of a Clara Barton, a Florence Nightingale? In Scripture, Noah led. He led his family. Abraham led his family from Ur. Moses, David, Deborah, Gideon. Leaders lead. And in leading, regardless of their style, their sphere of influence, their calling or vocation, leaders make a vital difference. In fact, it gives rise to the quote by John Maxwell, probably his most oft-repeated quote, that everything rises and falls on leadership. Let me repeat that. Everything rises and falls on leadership. Great leaders create great teams. Great teams form great constituents and organizations. What are the qualities of a great leader? They are seers. They see today what others will see tomorrow. In a sense, every leader is a futurist. They see just over the horizon. They can also catch a glimpse of what people want and hope, and they craft a vision, not of what they want, but what God wants. Without a vision, people perish. Without a leader to craft that unifying vision, that blazing campfire around which all gather, there's so much trouble, so much heartache when an organization is leaderless. One translation says, when there is no vision, the people cast off and lose all restraints. The cohesion evaporates. The harmony dissolves. Have you ever witnessed that? When you get your eyes off the unifying vision and that brief relapse, that brief moment that you take your eyes off the goal, things began to dissolve and crumble. I've been there. What a lesson for us all. Great leaders, they are seers. They can craft the unifying vision and they can hold to that vision. Second, they are initiators. I like that. They're starters and self-starters. They don't need people prodding them. They don't wait just on opportune moments. They challenge conformity. They push against inertia. They initiate. They start first. Is there any wonder why Jesus gave the keys of the kingdom to Simon Peter? He saw things before the other disciples did, and he also acted first. It was Simon Peter that got out of the boat and walked on water. It was Simon Peter who recognized the risen Christ on the shoreline, dove into the water. He was the one who said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." He's also the one who stood up on the day of Pentecost. He had a leadership quality that caught a glimpse and then took the initiative. Of course, initiators can also get themselves in trouble, like Simon Peter did with the sword in the garden. But find a great leader and you're going to find a great initiator. They set the pace. If there is a strong leader initiating action, then you will eventually see teams hitting on all cylinders, people pushing forward. They are also motivators. Not only do they see, not only do they start, but leaders urge people to join them. Let me just pause here on this one. Great leaders isolate that unifying objective, that vision, that goal. It not only gets them moving, but it motivates the team to move as well. This is where passion gets in the mix. Metaphorically, a leader sets themselves on fire and others join in the flame. A leader starts moving toward the objective and that passion lights up others. Here's another quality of leaders. They are directors. They give direction. They guide. They show others how to excel, how to do their best. This means the leader has to have also some core competencies. To direct others, they need to know not only where to go, but how to get there. Some of the greatest leaders I've worked with have mastered this quality. They knew the job. They knew what was to be done. They modeled it. They showed it. They provided us all an example. And in so doing, they raised up leaders. So an enhancement of your personal effectiveness is to adopt some leadership qualities. Leaders are seers, initiators, motivators, directors. They're also reconcilers. Why do I say that? Great leaders have the ability to reconcile competing interests and people and goals and objectives. They grow teams by rallying everyone around common objectives and do not allow competing interests to eclipse what is truly important. By balancing resources, tensions, talents, finances, when you see all that leaders do, then you and I can begin to grasp just what John Maxwell said. Everything rises and falls on leadership. Let's focus on two types of leaders that are seen in Scripture. One is the house of Saul, and the other is the house of David. Saul was a driven person, a driven leader. Most organizations value that. They value people with this personal ambition. They have qualities that secular organizations just seem to elevate and promote. Driven people want to see results, only results. Driven people have little regard for integrity. Again, only results matter. Driven people have little people skills. Only results, not people, matter. Driven people are highly competitive. Each encounter is a win-lose proposition. Only results matter. Driven people are fueled, sometimes by anger. Anger is what drives them. Get in their way and you'll taste that anger. Driven people are generally very busy. The tyranny of the urgent grips their lives. Driven people do get things done, but follow in their wake a while and you will see a lot of human casualty. Yes, this world values such leaders. This is the house of Saul. Saul is who Israel would have picked as king for a variety of reasons. He was interested in status symbols, respect, authority. He was competitive, obsessive. He was hard on people. But such leaders command loyalty in only a very few. But then there's the house of David. David was different. He cared for his father's sheep. You may have read Fulghum's book, All I Need to Know I Learned in Kindergarten. Well, with David, Nearly everything we need to know about him can be learned in this simple fact: he cared for sheep. Read the Shepherd's Psalm, the 23rd Psalm, and behold David's understanding of the timid nature of sheep and how they must be cared for. They can't be driven. A shepherd does not push his sheep. A shepherd leads the sheep beside still waters. A shepherd never forgets the timid, tender nature of the father sheep in his care. David knew the drawing power of his own voice to sheep. Jesus said, "My sheep know my voice, and another they will not follow." A shepherd speaks, sings, plays a musical instrument. There must be a voice in people's lives that is stronger than their fears, than their despair, than their hopelessness and desperation. Drawn people draw others through their voice. David led people by example, not coercion. He walked alone into the valley with the giant Goliath. Later, four of David's mighty men would years later square off with giants as well. But David was the one who led by example. He didn't ask people to do what he was unwilling to do. He didn't sit in his ivory tower and command his minions to do this or that. The one time David grew close to that in his life, he made a tremendous mistake that haunted him to his grave. It's when we're leading by example that we motivate others. This is where we can settle down, because this is the essence of where we see the truth. Everything rises and falls on leadership. Leaders, especially those that are drawn by God, have a servant mindset. They inspire and empower others. You read of David's mighty men. They didn't start that way. They were in debt, distressed, discouraged. But in the presence of David, he empowered them, lifted them, and they lifted him. It was this mutual encouragement, this mutual benefit. Saul, the driven leader. My wife and I were in the Holy Land years ago, and as our group was coming across the plain of Jezreel, our tour guide pointed to a certain hill in the distance. He asked me if I knew the name of the hill. I started to say no, but then I stared at it. The hills around it were green and lush, but this hill was barren and rocky. It didn't look like anything was growing there. And as I stared at it, I remembered a man named David who pointed at a hill and said, "Gilboa, let there be no dew upon you from this day forward and forevermore." And I asked the guide, "Is that Gilboa?" He nodded sadly and said, "Yes, it is." It's a reason to be sad, because we read that King Saul fought his last battle there. Surrounding him were his sons, three kings who never were because of a father's driven, poisoned spirit. What I find unique is the few who stood with Saul that day. For the driven man commands very little loyalty. If we are to lead people, isn't it important that we inspire them and not oppress them, that we're known for encouraging others? Can I change? Yes, you can. Paul said, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." You remember Paul called Saul of Tarsus, of the tribe of Benjamin, the same as King Saul. That driven man breathing out threats of slaughter as he made his way down the Damascus road. But there the son of David met the son of Saul, and life was radically changed. A driven man began to say things like, "Follow me as I follow Christ." Captured and seized by love, the driven becomes the drawn, and thus your effectiveness is enhanced.
Thank you for sharing in daily devotion with Ken Gurley. We pray this ministry has been a source of encouragement and strength to you. Please be mindful that your financial support enables us to meet with you each day. To give a donation or connect with us, visit our website at kengurley.com. There you will also find the latest books, podcasts, and resources. Blessed 90 Days to Change Your World is Pastor Gurley's latest book. You can get your copy of this life-changing book at kengurley.com. May God's favor rest on you in every way until we meet again.